Blog Talk Radio.
Double dose of poison if you choose me to be that way. Brian Controversial Rails. Now, here's the deal. I've got a lot to discuss with you all today. Sorry we're a bit late. We're running behind. The host with the most is currently busy working on said announcements and also the website and this, that, the other thing. But today, I'm going to start right out the gate by discussing with you all recent pay-per-view, Great Balls of Fire, which I really want to say the following. It wasn't that bad of a pay-per-view. It really wasn't. The only flawed portion of it happened to be the one where everyone bitched and griped about, and that was Lesnar versus Samoa Joe. Now, whether you guys want to admit to this or not, you know the company's direction in which it goes. And like I told you all, Cornette and Lance Storm said it best. They have a bad habit. WWE Creative has a bad habit of going the opposite of what everyone else, the fans, would want. Simply because they have a simple duty and obligation to do, and that is either it works or it doesn't. The simple formula, right? Fans are going to hate it, but we'll still keep pushing the idea down their throats. So right out the gate, I just want to say the matches that caught the attention of myself probably be the Cruiserweight match between Tozawa and Neville. Although some people were falling asleep on it, the only reason some of them ever paid such attention was because of Titus O'Neil being at ringside. And Tozawa is actually talent. People can actually latch on to and watch. And let's see what else. So, yes, Alexa Bliss versus Sasha Banks for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. That match was pretty badass. I thought it was all over the place. Sasha Banks took Alexa to the absolute limit. And although she took her to the absolute limit, didn't realize Alexa was going to be counted out. The Hardys versus Sheamus and Cesaro. I must tell you, the only thing I'm going to tell you that match was not, it wasn't great, it was in between. The reason I say this is because it was as many falls as you can get during the match. It was a first ever 30-minute Iron Man tag match. And Matt Hardy was bleeding. You know, his eyebrow, there's above this, you know, little space above it was bleeding. They didn't censor that, but they decided, the company decided to censor Braun Strowman's face. Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns in an ambulance match. Ladies and gentlemen, yeah, being there in Dallas, watching this live is much different, but at the same token, it was pretty lackluster again. Although Raw did have better elements than SmackDown, because SmackDown's pay-per-view Money in the Bank, comparatively speaking to this one, wasn't all that great. And to be honest with you, to grade this pay-per-view is like pulling teeth, because I give it overall a C-. And certain people who have bad taste because they like basic wrestling will give it probably a B or an A minus, because some people, oh, look, bro, he's badass. Really? Five fucking, you know, suplexes or six, and then a F5 out of nowhere, as Michael Cole would say. So that's the first thing I'm going to talk to you about, was the Great Balls of Fire. You can see where things are going. Okay. For those of you wanting me to mention about what happened with Enzo and Cass, it's simple. Now Cass is being put into the fray. They're testing the waters, seeing where he's going to go character-wise. Enzo Amore, I don't know what the plans are for him, but I do know that eventually all things have to come to an end. It was getting stale. It wasn't as successful as it was in NXT. Well, yeah, what kind of would have been if they would have just let things happen. But seeing what things happen in wrestling interprets into a lot of different things. So not to go off tangent completely, but Great Balls of Fire, yikes. The surprise victory for me from sitting in Texas was probably Bray Wyatt and Seth Rollins. I'm kind of shocked that Bray went over on Seth, probably because the WWE in the past has worked him around, really not utilized him. They've only used him as the monster figure in WWE because he's the next Undertaker, supposedly. I don't see it, but, you know, maybe it'll happen in due time. But I do like Bray's style. I like his uniqueness and all that stuff. He won the match plain and simple. So, moving forward. Now, you know, the ambulance match, which I really, honestly, did not want to see. Because every time that those two get in the ring, there's something terrible that happens. And, of course, after the match is over, Roman Reigns grabs the ambulance, you know, puts Braun Strowman in there. A friend of mine and I are, you know, sitting there at the arena watching. I say, oh, man, do you think that's the pre-taped? No, I believe it's live, because you look at Braun Strowman's face. It's all bloody and nasty and gnarly, and his legs all jumbled up. Now, Roman Reigns, of course, there's a lot of philosophies on what happened, but I'm just going to leave it at this. If they want to feud Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, just make them happy. Just make them happy. So, in essence, where does Great Balls of Fire lead? Okay, straight into Monday Night Raw. Let's get past the boring parts. And that includes the Cruiserweight Tag Team match between Cedric Alexander and Akira Tozawa versus Neville and Noam Dar. I think it's sad what they're doing to Noam Dar, but then again, you know, everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a, you know, outright purpose in WWE, I'm guessing. If I did pay attention to it, it's because Alicia Fox is funny as hell. And to me, she's the comic relief of this match. Cedric Alexander wins. Akira Tozawa kicks the rope in between Neville as he's straddled to it. So it's kind of revenge from Great Balls of Fire, which is, again, catchy and really lame name, but still catchy, because, you know, the title is going to get people to talk. Anyways, past the semantics, Akira Tozawa goes up to the top and hits the senton bomb on Neville, 1-2-3, into that match. And then there's a tag match. Let's see, Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks and Bayley. Oh, Bayley. Poor, poor Bayley. She's making money and turning heads. Not really. She's making money and she's, you know, reaching fans. I just, you know, she's a good worker, but the roll up in the middle, that's, what do you expect from a nice baby face? Need it to balance out the heels, correct? But what am I getting at? I just don't believe her. She's not believable to me. She is an extremely hard worker. She did amazing for NXT. Now that, you know, she's resistive towards changing or not being able to put bruises on people, according to that one interview, that's really going to have people questioning her ability in the ring. Not outside the ring, you know, she's amazing. But, guys, I got to say this right now. I'm not really impressed. And I'm not one of, I am probably one of the few people like, oh, my God, how can you hate Bayley? I don't hate her. I just am not a fan. Just like some people are not a fan of Alexa Bliss or Sasha or Nia. But here's the thing, guys. I was watching the match, and it was good pace. The babyfaces obviously had their night that night on Monday Night Raw, which is fine. You need a fucking balance to balance out the pay-per-view and what builds are going to happen right before SummerSlam. So, in essence, I'd like to switch gears here. Speaking of signing new talent and, you know, doing a bunch of things, WWE just signed a major talent to their roster. It goes by the name of Leo Rush. And this kid's only been wrestling since 2014, so he's got a 3-year resume. When you beat guys like Slugger Clark, then you go on and, you know, in the CZW tournament and Cage of Death tournament in 2017. Let's see, actually, no, not 2017, but he defeated Joey Janela. So, you know, on the 13th, he beats Joey Gacy for the CZW World Title. Then he goes on to Ring of Honor, and he beat Vinnie Marsaglia in a dark match in December 19th of 2015. His PWG career was in 2017. I'm not going to go over that too much, but I will tell you that Leo Rush, if you haven't seen this dude work, you are missing out. I've watched some of the stuff on YouTube. I can tell you this guy's not a finesse worker, that's for damn sure. Kid's got quickness. He's got something the WWE wants, and that is adding flavor to NXT. Because you already have Bobby Roode. You already have Eric Young. You have Roderick Strong, Aleister Black. The list goes on and on. But Leo Rush added to this mix, ladies and gents, by far is going to add some, you know, much needed depth, because if the Revival got signed, which I find very funny, well, not funny, but just the stuff Cody Rhodes has been doing lately, giving his, you know, his sentiment towards the Revival, pretty damn funny. Anyways, oh yeah, that's for something I forgot to mention on Monday Night Raw. The Hardys losing to the Bullet Club, Gallows and Anderson. They did have an Iron Man match, but still, are they supposed to go on a massive losing streak? I don't know. But getting back to the topic at hand, Leo Rush, to be only in wrestling for 3 whole years, and that, you know, is the end result, it's pretty badass. I mean, he worked hard, obviously, to get where he's at. You know, when you get the backings of Steve Corino and Jay Lethal and all of that stuff, you are definitely on your way. I know my host with the most would be like, you don't know anything about Leo Rush. I know a little bit, just off the top of my head. I don't know the whole nine, but I do. I've seen some of this kid. I have not sat down to watch him in quite some time, but Leo Rush is the equivalent of Prince Puma. I don't know. However you guys want to compare him is however you guys want to compare him to Prince Puma or Ricochet or whatever, King Ricochet, whatever he goes by now. The point is, signing new talent can be very beneficial if you are WWE, because simply put, a lot of the purists will go around telling you the product ain't the same. The product ain't the same. It's lame right now, blah, 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 blah. So I got to say, I'm getting some of your Instagram questions, and I'm not so sure how you would like me to answer these, so I'm just going to answer accordingly. Do I think Sanity will go to the main roster? I don't know. That's not up to me. That's up to the talent and developmental in WWE and where they see where they're at. So, yeah. And also, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure. I'm definitely sure that's going to happen. Will Asuka go to Maine? Why, yes, I do believe she will. I think that's kind of a fair assessment. But also understand, you know, this is kind of what I, you know, let's see here. All right, so do I think Lio Rush is, do I think he's a good superstar? Look, man, I've only seen some of his matches. I don't know exactly what you're wanting me to say. Okay, I'm going to move on, folks, because in about 12 whole minutes, we're going to go, or I'm going to go off the rails as normal. Lio Rush will be a decent injection of talent. Do you know why? Because if you start at that young age and you say, man, I'm in WWE. He didn't just say, man, I'm in WWE. To wrestle for three different big-name organizations in the independents like PWG, who has produced guys like Kevin Steen, El Generico, and Super Dragon, all them, you know, certain things, certain guys go through certain things to get to where they're at is what you're asking. It's like, okay, so then what are you asking? All right, here's how this works. When you go into wrestling, you're not going to be a major superstar from your very first match. It's going to take a couple matches to get going. This kid is like the Aaron Judge of pro wrestling because, you know, he wasn't there quite around for so long, but he gained experience. He won a few championships. He knew what to do, what channels to go through. If you're already established, that does help you a lot on your resume. It does have, you know, it helps you have room to grow. So in order for that, you know, to be a possibility, you need to just, okay, so you want to know where to go for wrestling school. There's plenty of them. Just go to the ones which fits better. If something isn't right, then I suggest you don't go. If you're not training yourself, or if you're not training properly, it's going to end badly. And that's something that I'm going to be discussing with you on the horn. You know, if you want to call in, dude, you're more than welcome to. So call in the number at 213-943-3422. That's 213-943-3422. We're taking a break here, ladies and gentlemen, for the time being, because we can talk about advertisements. If you want to sign up at Danny Cage's Monster Factory, be sure to do so. It is $1,000 for previous experience. His phone number is right on the website and all social media. It's even on the car that he drives to Monster Factory. So it has the advertised number as follows. You can catch it on www.monsterfactory.org. That's www.monsterfactory.org. You can contact Danny Cage, who is the best trainer in the world. He will help you get where you need to get by training you and teaching you the basics of professional wrestling and also pro wrestling etiquette. So in other words, don't be a giant ass. For those of you wishing to train locally in the Midwest, where the host with the most is, you can go to NWL/Facebook.com, contact the site, or you can contact Derek Stone. He will gladly message you back. The auditions for tryouts are $20. To continue on the advertisement for Danny Cage's Monster Factory, it is $1,000 with prior experience, $500 down payment, so $1,500 down total. $2,000 for a lifetime membership to Monster Factory. It is $2,000 for people with non-experience, I believe. For more information, go to monsterfactory.org. For those of you wanting a FlowSlam subscription, go to FlowSlam.com. It is $9.99 a month or whatever price they have listed. So, here it is. If you'd like to subscribe to WWE Network, you can do so by going to the WWE website. Sign up is free for a whole month. For the prepaid, or for the loaded cards of $29.97 for 3 months. That's 4 months right there, folks. 1 month free and 3 months on a card. You can get these reloadable cards at your local GameStops, 7-Elevens, Best Buys, and Dollar Generals. It seems to be Walmarts. All right, enough of the advertisements. Hey, folks, if you really, really want to understand why it's important to sign new talent, and then here it is. The thing is, like this, you sign your life away, or do you sign just because you know it'll get a rise out of anyone? That means, are you signing for real, or are you signing because you just want to and it'll get a crowd reaction? That's kind of lame, but well, I mean, I'm answering your question because you said, well, if I sign, what happens if I were to sign in WWE currently? Are you just signing for shits and giggles, or are you just signing just because, you know, this will be hella interesting, it'll be really cool? Some people treat it as a major deal, and I'm just telling you right now, it is a major deal, so yes. And no. Okay. Yes and no to the fact that if you actually... No. Just listen. If you're able to go to Tampa or Orlando and they like what they see, they're definitely going to take a look at you. What have you got to lose? I mean, nothing in general, right? So, well, I mean, dude, for real. If you are right now in Florida and you're talking to me, what are you doing? Oh, you sent me a picture. Wow, dude. Okay. I mean, I'm not debating what you're saying. I'm not housing in any shape or form. If you really believe that you want to be a pro wrestler, I mean, I'm glad you listened to our show and you listened to what I have to say. I'm just telling you, just go down to the camp in Florida, make sure that she, you know, they have open audition calls, you're there. That's all I'm going to tell you. Anyways, folks, I got 2 minutes before I go off the rails, and it's not going to be all off the rails, but here's the deal. I'm just going to say it. If you're afraid and you have fears and doubts, that's going to always consume you. You just got to go for it. Even if you know you're in the wrong, it's better to have tried than not tried at all. There you are, my man. There it is. I'm not going to name names because he asked me not to, but he is from Memphis, Tennessee. He's a big, you know, he's a big old boy. And let's see, you know, wish our friend good luck in trying out for WWE. You know, if that doesn't work out, that should not be any doubt at all. So I'm just telling you, it is what it is. So I got a minute left, and I got to reflect upon a few certain things before I start going off the rails. And that is, whenever an opportunity presents itself, especially WWE, do not hesitate to go for it, because you never know what's going to come up, folks. You never, never know. So I'm just waiting on the host with the most, considering I don't know where or what he's doing. I believe that he's supposed to hop on here shortly. But until then, I'm going to take the opportunity, because in 30 seconds, I get to do my most favorite thing, and that is speak my mind about what's going on about the business, good or bad. This is, well, you guessed it. In 15 seconds, I will tell you. In 10 seconds, I might lose my brain. In 6 seconds, 5 seconds, 3, 2, 1. Time for me to discuss with you all what's been going on in the world of professional wrestling. Now, from the domesticated side of things, here it is. Paige and Alberto Del Rio. Some people are big fans of Alberto Del Rio stuff. Some people are big fans of, or were big fans of Paige's stuff. I'm just going to go out on a limb and just say, here's the thing. Whenever you have a personal problem in the world of wrestling, there are always going to be people that will pay attention. And then it was said at a seminar, don't leave your personal stuff out on the line. Now, online social media doesn't matter, because it'll come back to bite you in the ass, and obviously it's coming back to bite Paige and Alberto Del Rio in the ass. Can they get, you know, can Paige get her life back together? Probably. But, you know, it is what it is, and I'm not just going to focus on that incident, because that's so old news and people don't want to constantly hear about it. So it is what it is. Paige, apparently, according to reports, was cited saying, you know, get the fuck away from me, get the fuck away from me, to Alberto Del Rio. And so it's just a very complicated story. So, let's see what else is happening, okay? In the world of pro wrestling, you got Keith Lee, you've got Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle is basically destroying everything and anything in his path. Until, you know, you see Matt Riddle versus Keith Lee, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I literally have repeated myself several times about Keith Lee and Matt Riddle. I'm going to leave it at this. To whatever happens, and whatever happens, happens. Keith Lee is one hell of a talent. He's a big dude who can do flippy shit. Not only that, he can also give you the ground and pound. He's an all-around worker, and he works his ass off, and he doesn't say much. Matt Riddle, you know, he's an interesting character. I had the awesome pleasure of meeting him in San Antonio. When we were there for the Royal Rumble weekend, we also went to two Evolve events, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. Actually, one on Friday, one on Saturday, my bad. So, again, as I took that very long pause reading some of the questions on here, I'm going to tell you right now, the happenings all around wrestling, it's not just, I'm just going to tell you. You ask why I talk about Matt Riddle and Keith Lee so much, and why not mention the other indie events like Shikara and PWG. So here's my answer to that. Focusing on what the happenings are in wrestling, Cody Rhodes becoming Ring of Honor champion. Right, you know, and of course making controversial, you know, shooting the, you know, head at a fucking Okada during an interview. There are certain things I don't want to cover because everyone and their mother wants to cover everything independent. But the problem is, whenever you try to cover everything at the same time, it becomes an issue. Now, at least I mention. At least I mention it. I mean, hey. I'm reading some of your stuff, and it's really not just like, okay, well, here, instead of the pauses and the dramatic pauses that I'm going to go through, here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not going to do anything. Seriously, it's not going to do anything to me. Really, you know. All right, so here's the deal. The reason why I don't cover that stuff is because I don't watch all of the Japan stuff. I watch some. You know, New Japan is not hard to find the most. So, wow, this is kind of brutal. But, wow, some of you guys, just wow. I'm just going to say that when I watch pro wrestling, that I watch it for the enjoyment, not the criticism or critiques on who's the best heel or babyface, because you know why? Speaking of which, you know, I'm going to negate all of the discussion right now about Matt Riddle and Keith Lee and all of them, because why? Those men work hard for what they do in the wrestling ring, and I'm going to say this right here, right now. If you think you can do a better job of covering every single thing that is independent wrestling, raise your right hand and hop on your foot. Because there are those that are freaks of nature that can show off and do this. But here's the thing. Whenever you watch pro wrestling, it should be about quality of something. And I'm going to continue that discussion since you all really want to jump on the bandwagon of... you only discuss WWE. No, I don't. I just mentioned two guys that were in Evolve Wrestling, PWG, and also Wrestling Revolver. You know, shows that are intriguing don't necessarily have to come from WWE. You're correct. Well, and the fact of the matter is this, that you think that wrestling is all about... you think it's all about just watching, you know, people beat the crap out of each other with steel chairs or barbed wire or thumbtacks? That's, you know, certain people's preferences and choice. It's really not wrestling, but it's wrestling nonetheless, because why? You paid to, you know, the fans paid to go see it. So the main, you know, focus of today's discussion is going to be me telling you all that wrestling, it can vary, but fans don't want to hear it, just like grocery store customers don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the fucking truth. You can't afford this. You can't do this. Well, in wrestling, you really can't, you know, admonish someone for liking someone or something. However... you know, there is limitations on certain people and where they go, right? There should be a group of people that should not be allowed to work. Now, I saw something earlier. I was scrolling through social media on Facebook, and I are scrolling through the media on Facebook and just be like, man, some of this shit is good and some of it's bad. And what do I mean by this? The people who say, when you talk crap on a group of people or talk shit in general, there's a difference between talking shit on someone that's really, you know, awesome, and there's a difference between talking shit on someone who doesn't deserve it. I don't know. I mean, I'm just getting sick and tired of, you know, seeing certain people... who don't deserve it So, I mean, it's all up to you and what you decide is appropriate for wrestling discussion. It can be, and Joey Janela has to send his woman through a bunch of cinder blocks or the pile driver on the coffin. I mean, Jesus Christ. I'm not just rambling to hear myself talk. I am telling you, you know, CZW is not all that bad. It's just not all that great either. It's like the modern day ECW, which means that it gains popularity through violence, and that's fine. Man, jeez. Now I'm going to switch gears back to wrestlers who don't, you know, who, you know, they claim that they are wrestlers, but really, I mean, I saw a match over the weekend. It was Evan Jelestico versus, I believe it was Sarge. Now, I have nothing against Sarge, because that man was actually fairly decent and nice with me. However, you know, watching the match on YouTube, it just looked so bad. I mean, everything that you learn or would like to learn or in wrestling, it shows. And it shows in that match that you can tell that Evan was frustrated. And you can tell that the match was such the drizzling shits to watch. Because, you know, he goes for a pinning combination in the first bit of the match, and he's an itty bitty versus a big guy. And not just that moment in the match, the lockup, it looks strong. But in reality, the whole entire duration of the match between Jelestico and Sarge, duration is kind of a strong word to use, more like torture or gag reflex, or I'd rather, you know, put my foot on broken glass. That would be more pleasurable than watching that match. It's not all negative. Well, yes, I can find negativity, because the place in which where Sarge trained, gee, I wonder, it's looking really grim for each time they branch out and go somewhere, because the question gets asked, where did you train? Why and how in the hell did you get in a wrestling ring? So you listen to the promo after the match between Jelestico and Sarge, and Jelestico basically says, you know, Eddie Guerrero, his lowest point of his career was coming to where we're at. Lowest point of my career was this goddamn match. Probably not paraphrasing it properly, but it's the truth. Because some people will criticize because they have room to criticize. I'm criticizing that match because I watched that atrocity. And when you watch something that's so bad, and worse, even worse than the Future of Honor match, I don't know, it keeps going up in pay grades of horrible. You know, you want to live in a fantasy land where they don't tell you the fucking truth about how crappy or where you need to improve upon in wrestling, then fine, you stay at said school. But it just boggles my mind how certain people can act higher and mighty, saying that, you know, it's okay to talk shit, but when you talk shit on someone that's worth something, I'm sorry. Like, that makes no sense to me. If I'm going to talk a mad amount of shit and I have something to back it up, what really annoys me is when people in the world of professional wrestling want it all to be positive. How do you get attention? You're positive. Promoters notice your positivity. I am just going to go out on a limb here and say the positivity that's among certain people, okay, that all depends where you are in this business, what totem pole you're talking from, which, is there really a hierarchy in the world of wrestling? is there people that have hearsay over certain people? I guarantee you the answer to that question is yes. Because whether they like to admit it or not to you, there is a hierarchy in the world of professional wrestling. And on that note, I'm going to switch gears. And then I'm going to get right back to it. There are certain people in the world of wrestling that just have it. And they know they do. Like guys like Jeremy Wyatt, guys like Dak Draper, guys like Mike Orlando, guys or gal, you know, like Gabby from Monster Factory, or, you know, there's more, and it's Punisher Martinez from Monster Factory. Guys that just exude charisma, like Dak Draper. I want to touch on that subject. There's very few guys know how to work a crowd and the simplicity of boos and cheers that come into mind. This guy took what he had and he made it into something beautiful. So what I'm saying is thank you, Dak, for making wrestling interesting locally and also putting NWO on the map, simply because, you know, they have guys like Dorothario and Jeremy Wyatt and Michael Strider and the Royal Bloods and so on and so forth. But when you have a guy that exudes charisma, is good with the kids, and that's what the main thing is if he is good with the children. And not only that, he can definitely get a crowd going and make sure that you have a quality match by the end of the night. So just wanted to touch on that and give shout outs and thanks to an awesome dude. All right. Now, since we've got 40 minutes left on the show, I just want to say that this, you know, there's a lot of things happening going on in professional wrestling. Austin Aries being released. Let me just shed some light on that. Now, Austin Aries being released, WWE, is that a good or a bad thing? Some of you are saying that's a bad thing. Some of you are saying it's a good thing. I just want to read to you all about Austin Aries released from WWE and what the true story is behind it, so you all don't freak out, okay? You know, it breaks some people's hearts, but you know what? It's okay. It's saying this article, according to Matt Morning, he could do everything, blah, blah, blah. Whenever you pitch ideas to WWE Creative, according to this article, you're not really going to go far. And the reason why I say this is because you got to keep your mouth shut. You know you can do this. You know you are the top guy. And you know that you could easily... You need to, you know, obviously realize that he put himself on the line. He's 39 years old, and I'm sure he'll find somewhere. I am definitely sure that Austin Aries will find Ring of Honor again. He might even go to Japan. I think that might be some people's choice of where Austin Aries goes, but he would likely, you know, be taking some time off, according to sources. So, you know, here's the thing. He's saying that he signed in 16, right? So, it's not really giving very many details as I'm reading through these articles about why. You know, you can pitch all the ideas you want to WWE. But what it boils down to is Austin Aries knew deep down that it was time. It was not his time. just like when Sammy Callahan left the company, he was in good standing. He didn't. I listened to Sammy on the podcast with Colt Cabana, and this was a long time ago, or not too long ago, but he discussed with Colt about feeling like he was too cookie cutter or that he wasn't doing enough. Now, this is the opposite with Austin Aries. Austin Aries was like a confident asshole who knew where he stood and where he was going to go. It's just the WWE did not know what to do with him. Unfortunately, they didn't, and that includes most of the guys on the writing staff who just thought, you know, I just want to go to main roster. Why they put him with the cruiserweights is beyond me, but he took his position, he took his chop, he took his beatings, you know, gave Neville a run for his money, and then when it did, you know, it didn't come to fruition at WrestleMania, kind of set the tone of, you know, at other pay-per-views when Austin Aries challenged Neville again. Was Neville the reason why Aries left? No. But I can guarantee you, one of the things that bugs the ever-living fuck out of me is people say, well, the WWE just buried him. They buried him like they buried Bray and so on and so forth. Guys, do you even know what buried means? Take a look at Bray Wyatt. They didn't bury him. Bray just waited it out. And lucky for him, you know, he's in the heavyweights. And he just was patient with the writing staff. He was patient with what they were doing. And patience is extremely hard to find when you're in WWE or anything in wrestling. Trust me, guys. I don't make everything about me, but I'm going to just bring this little tidbit to light. In the 2 years I was with KCXW, here's what happened. I was a manager, and I basically sang the national anthem. So in other words, you know, burying somebody, I'll give you an example of burying somebody's character. When you're the national anthem and then you go out to manage a few wrestlers, it means you're just a prop. You're just a fucking prop. Was Austin Aries a prop for WWE? You know, sometimes companies sign guys and they know they don't have longevity within their company. I mean, sure, Shinsuke Nakamura has been around for 10 plus years, grand total of 15. He started in 2002. He did wrestle against Lesnar. He's wrestled against Okada. He's wrestled against Omega. He wrestled once against AJ Styles outside of WWE. The point is, where these guys go is their choice. So Cody Rhodes being released from WWE, was that a blessing in disguise? You bet your ass it was. I think that it's important that you know the reason why these things happen, okay? So, here's why it's important to know your surroundings as a fan. Certain guys, certain gals, they come and they go. Look at Maria. She was a long time ago in WWE, and she needed to learn. So she went back to Ring of Honor with Michael Bennett. So certain things happen, and they happen for a reason. The reason why I'm getting on this subject is because everyone and their mother is discussing who's joining NXT, and NXT is this and that and the other. You watch Wednesdays compared to Mondays and Tuesdays. That's what Mondays and Tuesdays used to be. But now everything is intriguing because why? It's SummerSlam. SummerSlam is, you know what it is, but I'm going to get back to the Austin Aries discussion. Austin Aries, a lot of people like. Why? Because of his finishing maneuvers? Was it because he was a good wrestler, you know, all-around good wrestler? Have you seen what he has done in Ring of Honor? Have you guys been able to have time to watch all his old stuff? The reason why I'm discussing Austin Aries more is because I am a firm believer in the fact that, yes, someday he will be back, and they might actually put him on the main roster. He's not the biggest guy, but he does hit. He does hit hard, and not only does he hit hard, but he gives you a show. The disc is, you know, the disc is for, you know, the submission maneuver that Austin Aries does, not Rings of Saturn. And I'm going through people, you know, I'm going through their questions. Why is discussing him important? Yeah, because, look, I don't want to sit here and discuss tag team breakups and why they're not beneficial, because, I mean, I can do that, but, you know. He said that he wants to take time off. I mean, can you guys understand that you put, like, as fans, some of you understand that when you put your body through absolute hell, in the ring, out of the ring, you get tossed like a fucking rag doll if you're a manager. You don't so much have that happen if you're a referee. If you do, then, you know, you're just kind of an attention whore. Like, oh, I took that bump. Did you see me? Oh, I just found a new subject to discuss. Attention whores in wrestling. If I happen to be one, so be it. And here's why. Here's why. Attention whores in wrestling. Paige, Alberto Del Rio, Brad Maddox. Yeah, unfortunately for Xavier Woods. Unfortunately. There's just, you know, one thing you gotta understand. And that is, whenever you say something or do something, it's just like the tabloids are gonna catch wind of it. The tabloids of wrestling would be social media like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. So I'm going to say this. If you are seeking attention the correct way and you're getting yourself out there, cool, more power, props to you, doing the drives. If you're doing the drives and making yourself known, then that's awesome. But if you are getting attention in the wrong kind of way, this is why I say you're an attention whore. There's three different varieties. One is you're the referee or the, you know, worker that always has to take outlandish or do something completely stupid. Two, you're the attention whore that when you walk through the room, you got to make your presence felt, good or bad, so you drive up in a fucking limousine where a bunch of us have just driven in cars. And it's happened before, trust me. And that's not to say they're just doing it for characters. So does it make you a total attention whore? It depends. So, anyways, the third variety is a blend of the first two I just mentioned. Actually, there's four. The fourth set of being attention whore in the world of professional wrestling sounds like this. Hi, look at my company. We teach stunts and, you know, wrestling moves and finishers. I have to say to that, just from observing and listening to what I just heard and what I just said, that means you're nothing but a bunch of glorified choreographers. And if you're trying to truly get, you know, to get attention to your school, social media is the way to go, my friends. Advertising, like pictures and not just the ring and not just you working out outside and not just of a person lifting weights and pretending to do moves so that it makes it look like you're actually teaching something. Let me just say this right now. Being an attention whore the proper way, is there such a way of being an attention whore in a good way? The phrase doesn't sound so good, so getting good attention and bad attention in pro wrestling is going to be a topic that I'm going to discuss with you tomorrow. I can just tell you right from the get-go, this discussion is going to carry on in tomorrow. Whenever you're trying to change things in the world of professional wrestling, whether it be podcasting, whether it be your website or whatever, please be concrete. Don't be wishy-washy. That's one thing that annoys me, is that when you're in this business, don't say something's at 7 o'clock and then you show up at 9. Or, you know, if you're planning a show and it's supposed to be at a certain set time, make sure that the fans know why there's a delay, why there's a change. That's all I'm going to say about that, because there are the things where you have to adjust with the times, yes, but also if someone also has scheduling conflicts, it's going to conflict with the booking time for a show, the booking time for a podcast, so on and so forth. So be on time, scheduling conflicts, just answering a fan question here. If you have, you know, a problem with your partner in the podcast, that's, you know, okay, so how do you solve it? You know, you solve it behind closed doors. Is that what you're asking, Janice? So you guys are discussing mainly WWE pay-per-views, okay. So what's the problem? Okay, so it seems like it's very one-sided. So what you're asking me, you know, I'm just telling you, if you guys have an issue with one another, you got to solve it on here, not through Wrestle Radio. Also, you know, here's the thing. Before it gets kind of out of hand, Janice, if you want to run your own show, you do realize you can do that on the same tab, right? It's still $39 a month. Uh-huh. Okay, so anyways, as I was saying, the positive and negatives of professional wrestling, of being, you know, an attention whore. One, okay, you get attention. Two, it depends on what kind of attention. Are you getting school attention? Are you getting podcast attention? Plain and simple, is anyone listening to a word you're saying? Don't just talk out of your ass. You got to make sure that you have a firm head on your shoulders and that you're making perfect sense of what you're saying. So, in other words, if you're just beginning a show, have subjects lined up, man, so that you can talk about them. Second of all, if you're a person that enjoys the subtleties of getting negative attention through someone else, I'm going to say, if you have balls, tell that person over the phone or face-to-face. Over the phone doesn't make you a tough person. Face-to-face means you're a badass. I have more respect for people in this business who go toe-to-toe or face-to-face with somebody behind closed doors, because, sure, most people say, well, confrontation is the only thing if you have reason to confront somebody. I'll tell you right now, I have more respect for certain people that I remain friends with because they tell me what's wrong instead of all the time what's right. So in other words, criticism, taking criticism in the world of professional wrestling is also going to be discussed tomorrow. Whenever you take a criticism from anyone, and it's not just pro wrestling, it's jobs, you've got to be able to learn what you did wrong, how it came across, and where you can move forward with it. Certain people that I've been aligned with have not, you know, they were not apt to taking criticism, and certain people I'm also aligned with now. Not everyone. Just let me rephrase that. Not everybody. When you say something negative, it should have validity behind it and also fact. So here are the facts. The reason why I can complain, bitch, and gripe about certain things is because I went through just a smidgen of what certain people went through when they were going through wrestling. Did, you know, it's beneficial to learn certain moves that when you, if you get involved in a tag match, you know, you can work as a manager. That's very awesome. But from what I experienced, it was so negative to the point where it made me hate something that I love, and that was professional wrestling. So, of course, you know, I revisit that every now and again. Here's what I'm going to tell you all. If you want to get involved with a, you know, core group of guys, my suggestion is Monster Factory and NWL. They will teach you what you need to know about wanting to become a pro wrestler. Reason I say this is because though some of my friends are with the same school that I started out with, I'm going to tell them straight up, yes, it's working for you because you know what to say and what to do, or you don't want to go anywhere because you feel you're too old or whatever, what have not, you know, what have you. So, to those who start grumblings in pro wrestling and start gossip, the famous saying, you know, there's a famous saying, go fuck yourselves. You guys are the reasons why I don't dabble too much into that shit. It's a way of being positive in wrestling. It's like if you were able to finally let go of all the negativity, it's like a job. You don't say much. You be careful who you say things around. Because like a job, it could easily get reported back to a certain somebody. What you said and how you thought of them, what you thought of them. You know, I'm one of those people, I don't care. I will tell you what I think to your face. That's just me. If it's out of respect, though, and I'm at the person's school, you know, if it's out of a respect type thing, like if the person is telling me, hey, you need to work on this, you need to work on that, and you need to do better, that's where the appropriate line is drawn. So what I'm saying is, if I don't like what's going on, I'm not going to sit there and interrupt the person's train of thought or process, because here's the deal. Here's the thing, guys. Whenever you go to a wrestling school, you find respect. You don't look for respect right away because you have to earn it. But once you get to know people, it becomes a camaraderie. You gotta just focus on you, and you'll do fine. You focus on the other outside things, it's gonna eat you alive. And that's what happened to me. I was so insistent upon changing other people and their viewpoints and what they were comfortable with that I didn't, you know, realize that some of these people are just comfortable being complacent and being stuck. That's not me. And I finally realized that after I got fired, I wasted, you know, $75 of my money to a school from which did not matter. Because it gets mentioned, does it give it importance? I guess so. Negativity came out of it. I was lashing out at my folks. I was not happy. If you're not happy at a wrestling school, my suggestion to you is do not force it. Just you know, ask for your money back. Or, that's not good advice. Just quit. Because if it's not worth it to go to a place and get ignored, then don't. So the moral of today's story is, if you know someone's going to fuck you over in the long run, you should get out while you can. I stayed in my situation for way longer than I should have. Do I regret it? Yeah, because I could have gone to the East Coast a lot sooner. I was a lot happier. Met some very interesting folks. You know, I've seen better wrestling, awesome wrestling, actually. House of Glory, House of Hardcore, Chaos Wrestling, Monster Factory, you name it. I just want to tell you, that no matter what people tell you, no matter what they put you through, wrestling is always going to be like a marriage. It's going to be up, it's going to be down, it's going to be all in between. Certain guys really flourish and they just go with what makes them comfortable. Certain guys want a challenge. And I think guys like, Brandon Aarons and Jake Parnell and Mr. Devlin or Jason Stripe, whichever he goes by. Those guys, I don't know and I don't speak for. But I've seen their work and I think, wow, you know, not just basic, they're pretty good. And by pretty good, they're entertaining and quality. Do they want challenges? Probably. As I said, I don't speak for them, but it's just a thought that crossed my mind is, if they're entertaining enough for me to mention them on a freaking show, that doesn't make me better than anybody, but it does mean that they put on a hell of a show and that they are willing and ready to do whatever it takes, which is the main thing in professional wrestling. Like I said, if you're not satisfied with what you're doing in the world of wrestling, leave, get out. Which I'm going to tie this back into Austin Aries. Austin Aries, you know, he was released. There's nothing you can do about it. Is there a shame in him being released? Is it the end of the line? Because WWE said, we're closing our doors, and they released young Austin Aries. Austin Aries isn't that young. He's in his mid-30s. Now, suggesting things to a wrestling company, unless your name is like Stone Cold or The Rock or Austin, you know, or Bret Hart back in the day, you gotta say, so why is your name? And they respect and value your opinion. If your opinion and self-respect is not valued by a company, get up and leave. But if you try it out first for at least 6 months, like a job. And if you don't like it, quit. I'm not trying to be all negative here, but from speaking from prior experience, you just have to go outside, and even if you're a merchandiser, like I am currently, that doesn't mean I can't quit wanting to be a manager, because I know deep down what I need to do and where I need to go. I'm not going to talk about it anymore on here, because I'm one of those people that get annoyed simply by hearing people say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but I don't even attempt to get to point A because point A requires me working and doing the drives and doing everything that you're required to do in this business, and that's being a humble servant. Again, thank you, Uncle Bob, for the advice, because some people interpret it certain ways. I interpret it my way as well. Does my way have to be my way or the highway? No. It just means I'd like to, for once, be fucking listened to instead of stepped on in certain instances. You know? Is it a cry for help? Because people get tired of cries for help after a while. Because after a while, you sit and you listen to someone gripe so much about a company, and just like, man, does he ever shut up about this group of people? No, because, this group of people, some of them are still my friends, as I said, and some of them I just choose to basically ignore because it's not worth the pain. I put 2 years into a company. I promoted, I made my own page, I was excited, I was into it. Then I lost all luster for it because it was like, okay, well, some people will tell you, you have to be the power of your own success relies on you. Yeah, that's true. I'm not a self-motivated person. I find the beauty of something when I'm angry, when I'm upset or sad. Some of the best songs I've written or some of the randomized stuff I can do on the piano or sing or write mock promos, they stem from when I am angry. Okay? So for people to sit there and say, Jesus Christ, what a rambling, psychotic fool. He makes no sense and he goes all over the place. Take a good listen to a normal podcast. Colt Cabana podcast or the Art of Wrestling podcast or they're the same thing, I know. I just kind of got on a play on words. Or Chris Jericho's podcast or Stone Cold's podcast. With 7 minutes left, I'm going to tell you this right now. On Off the Rails Uncensored tomorrow, I'm going to just tell you this right here, right now. In the world of wrestling, you go through a lot more than just getting a gimmick and making sure you make sure you're a heel or babyface. If you're not certain on what you are, in the world of wrestling, it doesn't have to be right away. But if you know the direction of where you're going, where you're headed, and what you are, more power to you. But if you're one of those that, I want to get this because it makes me heel. I want to get this because it makes me babyface. I'm going to give you the big proverbial fuck you. Because World of Wrestling is not all about implementing whether or not you're heel or babyface. Big part of it is finding what works and what makes the crowd pop. Because certain crowds, dear God in heaven, they are extremely hard to pull. They're extremely
nothing
hard to get
hard to pull.
People to... Well, considering the fact that certain crowds are dumber than the IQ of 12, and that referring to some WWE audiences, thank God I got out of Dallas because they were pretty pissed at Great Balls of Fire because they wanted Joe to win.
But I understand. I'm pretty sure... So we were judging about what happened at Great Balls of Fire. I think we may get another Joe and prisoner match. May not be at SummerSlam, but we'll see.
I just think the only thing that bugs me is, and I was discussing this earlier with certain people, because certain people freaked out on our Instagram. The fact that Austin Aries has been released,
I'm actually happy he's released.
Of course you are, because,
Well,
how do I put this?
I'm happy.
He's going to better
me,
place.
I'm, Yeah, he's going to go to, like, back to Ring of Honor, where they actually treat him well. He's the third longest world champion. Then Orton go to TNA, where he was a world champion for the longest time. So.
I mean, it's one of those things where you're just like, well, as one fan described it, he was saying he wasn't so happy because he feels like Austin Aries will go to the wayside. I told him that's not necessarily true. I honestly had to explain that when a WWE superstar gets released, it really depends upon your interpretation of where he goes. No, it's the guy who said he needed time off, which is true, you know. He definitely needed time off, considering the fact that he's been on air literally every day. And also taking time.
Well.
So.
Yeah. Well, we're final 2 minutes left on the show. I know on the thing it says I have major announcements, which I do, which I'm going to go ahead and release those right now. I'm sorry to cut you off toward the end of the deal. But next week will be my last show for a little bit. Because I'm having a baby daughter. For those of you that do not know. So July 18th will be my last show for 2 to 3 weeks. We'll see how that goes. And also another big announcement, which involves this.
Bullet Club 4444.
Involves that. With the success of the New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 special this year, they're expanding to having a United States tour at least 3 times a year, start next year. With that being said, we are going to be part of it next year, and starting May of 2018, we'll be heading to places that involve New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we're going to be talking to, yes, will be members of the Bullet Club. So, stay tuned. It's going to get more and more fun. So, with that being said, Brian Rails, next week, I'm going to give the floor to you for a little bit.
Okay.
So you have full English for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
All right, man. Be ready for some randomized shit. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, we have 18 seconds left. We thank you guys for listening to us this week. I am sorry I came in the final five minutes of the show. So we thank you guys for listening. That's Brian Reels. I'm Jake Ryan. We are Wrestle Radio, and we will see you guys here next week.
See ya.
Bullet Club 4444.